going to lead our singing for us this morning while Brother David Hannibal and his family are over in, guess where?
Arizona.
Yeah. Good old Arizona. You go over there once in a while to thaw out. Amen? If you go over there in the summertime. All right. Brother Pat, come up here, please, and lead us in our opening hymn here. Let's stand together and sing number 549. 549.
So this is dwelling in Beulah Land. How many times is this mentioned in the Bible, Beulah Land? Anybody know? How many times Beulah Land is mentioned in the Bible? One time, right?
Three. How many?
I found one in Isaiah.
Oh, you did?
Did
I
you?
Just wondered. I was guessing.
You were guessing.
I figured you knew.
Found it one time.
When you ask a question like that, you better know the
answer. Better know the answer, right? So, 549.
I see the way he planned.
Well, in the Spirit here I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah Land.
Amen. And I think Brother Roger is going to bring our scripture reading.
As soon as we have prayer. Come on up, Brother Roger. You can lead us in prayer before you begin your scripture reading, okay?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
You may be seated if you like.
If you would, please. And now I'll be reading in the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 96. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we are here today. We thank you for this house you've given us to worship you. We pray, Lord, that everything is done here today will be to glorify you. Be with Pastor Wetzel as he opens the bread of life, Lord, to us, Lord, that hearts will be open and minds will be tuned to your word. We thank you so much for loving us, dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In his name I pray. Psalm 96. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord has made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give the Lord, O families of his peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts, O worship the Lord in beauty and holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. May God add a blessing to his reading of his word.
Amen. Did you read the newspaper this morning, the headlines of it, before you came to church? Had an article in there about approximately 100,000 children coming from Central America across the Texas border from Mexico into the United States. That's a year, where a year's worth. But they're coming here to the United States of America, and America is going to receive them. They're going to make citizens out of them. And our churches are going to have a heyday reaching them for Jesus Christ. You and I can't do anything about it. Immigration is the government's problem. We're going to just have fun sharing the gospel of Christ with those who need the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't reach them, the devil's going to get them. And if the devil gets them, they're going to turn mean. They're going to form gangs. and this country is going to have a civil war. They need to be brought to Jesus Christ. And we need to do what God wants us to do. Every one of us is called to be a witness for Christ and to be a soul winner. And if we can't go to Guatemala to reach them down there, God is bringing them up here to us that we might reach them here. That's our job. I'm not talking citizenship. I'm talking about Christianity and our duty to the Lord. So let's gird ourselves with the power of God's Holy Spirit and prepare to win souls to Christ. We're glad that you're here this morning, and it's been a long, busy week, and we've got another one coming up. 4th of July is going to be coming up pretty soon. Did you know that? Yep, it's going to be here before you know it. And we're just going to keep on enjoying ourselves in the Lord. And I'm glad this morning that Brother Pat is up here to lead us in our singing. Let's sing a couple of more good songs, okay? Brother Pat.
So let's turn to 429, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And I did a little Google on this also. And I found that the last verse was not part of the original song. It was added by an anonymous person. And so whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that's what I found on Google. So it's pretty interesting. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Sing God's praise than when So our next song is 347. That'll be our offertory hymn. And that's He Keeps Me Singing, number 347. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked with sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken street, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting 'neath the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every singing as I go. Oh, sometimes the way through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, singing as I go.
Brother Roger, will you lead us, please, in prayer?
Father, again, we are ever so grateful that we have this place, that we can come and gather and sing praise unto You. We ask, Lord, that You continue to build a hedge about this corner, building, property, and our finances. Father, continue to strengthen our pastor as he preaches the Word to us and teaches Your Word. Open our hearts and minds, Father, as we partake of this offer, we ask that You not only multiply it here on this corner, but the mission field we support around the world, we will be careful to give You all praise, honor, and glory. For it is in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank You. Thank you. asked Brother Johnny to come up here before I preach this morning. He's going to sing us a good song. Coming up the second Sunday in July. What's the date? 12th? What is it? 13th? All right. Whatever date the second Sunday in July is, we're going to have a guest speaker. Dr. George Hare is going to be with us in our morning service. I talked to Brother George a couple of days ago, and he's been very sickly. And if he feels like it, he's going to be here that day to bring us a message from the Word of God. He's been sick. He's been in the hospital. I've visited him over there. I've known him for a generation. He's a teacher and a leader over in the seminary in El Cajon over there. Sam knows him real well. They've been teachers together in the Bible College. And it's been a long time since Dr. Harris been with us in our services. But he's going to come back over here and bring us a good message from the Word of God. We look forward to having him with us on that day. And tomorrow is a very special day for at least one of the people of our congregation here. What are you looking at her for? You know what I'm fixing to say, don't you, Mark? Yeah, he's having a birthday. Yeah, that's tomorrow. But we probably won't be here tomorrow to hear him to sing happy birthday to him or blow candles or that. So let's do it now. Okay, give us a chord.
You take your time.
Yeah. I knew she had music to it somewhere here. All right, Mark, come on, stand up. You're the star of the show here. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Thank you. All right. I've got you. Yeah. All right. And take a good look around here and see what Brother Roger's been doing, he and his crew. And Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a Bible study here. And there's going to be something new, something added to the service. If you want to find out what it is, you come Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Because there's, you see these little speakers up here? Between now and Wednesday evening, they're going to grow. We're going to put some water on them, and we're going to grow them. And when you come in Wednesday night, they're going to be standing up about this tall. And we don't know yet how it's going to sound. But sound it will. And you all may want to sit on the back seat for a little while till you get adjusted to it. But we're going to work on that and have some special sound by Wednesday night. And then you can all hear Brother Johnny real well, even on the back seat. So come up here and sing for us.
Good morning, everyone. You know what? The Bible, God commands us to walk in His ways according to His laws and statutes and commandments. Some time ago, I decided to walk in my own strength, to walk in my own way. The Bible calls that disobedience. Amen. And my Lord and my God didn't let me get away with it. He let me go for a while. He didn't let me get away with it. But you know what, Uncle So, Pastor, I'm so glad that the God that I serve is not like man. Amen. When I cried out to Him for mercy, when I knew the error of my way and I cried out to Him for mercy, He didn't shake His head at me in disgust. He didn't look at me with eyes of contempt, but he threw open his arms and he welcomed me back into the fold. Please. And it's been sweeter and sweeter every day. We got so close, I cannot do without him at all. For 1 second, praise God, I love him. Now listen. Satan said, this time you done it. Johnny, you gone too far. How could the Lord receive you now? Will you ruin and scar? Oh, but something deep down inside of me said, child, you're still my own, and my love for you is still the same. So child, just come back home. He gave me more than I ever asked for, no more than I ever dreamed, more than I could imagine when I came back home to him. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, he gave me a robin and a ring. I said, make me as one of your servants, but he made me a child of the King. Oh, I thought of the years that I wasted as I walked the long lost way. I can rehearse time and time all the words that I say. Now when I finally reach my last long hill, and my Jesus I will see. Oh, he's running with his arms open wide, in long justice welcome me. The more that I ever asked for, the more that I ever dreamed, now more than I could imagine, I came back home to him. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, he gave me a rope and a ring. I said, make me as one of your servants, but he made me a child of the King. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, he gave me a rope and a ring. I said, Lord, just make me as one of your servants. Oh, but he made me a child. Listen to me, of heaven he. Yes, he did that. Yes, he did. He said, welcome me home. Praise you, God. Hallelujah.
All right. Thank you, Brother Pat, for leading our music this morning. I made a typo for my text when I gave that to Betsy. It was Deuteronomy 33. But that was the lesson that Brother Sam taught us Wednesday night. So I was right, partly, but my message is from the 34th chapter, verses, we'll read verses 1 through 8 in Deuteronomy, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 8. I want to urge you to be in prayer for Brother Abel Monson. I visited with Abel one day, one afternoon here, and left and went home, and he called me the next morning, and he says to me, "Say, guess where I spent the night last night? The hospital." He's doing pretty good. When I visited him, we had a nice visit there. But then his old ticker began to give him some pains, and he took a nitro tablet and it didn't help, and he took another one and it didn't help, and he called his doctor and said, "Come on in here." So he went in, and I don't know what they did, but whatever it was must have worked. He's still alive the next day, but continue to pray for him. Deuteronomy chapter 34, this is kind of like Moses. I'm going to be giving sort of a preview of our Wednesday night lesson, because we're going to be talking about Moses Wednesday night. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo. Now this is the very end of his life, the end of the 40-year wilderness wanderings. God's not going to let him go into the promised land. He's going to die in the land of Moab. Listen at this. "Go to the mountain of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, that's over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, then all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea." That's the Mediterranean Sea. From where he was, he had a view of the complete Holy Land. "And the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, 'This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither.' So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he," God, "buried him," Moses, "in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day." And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning about the Christian life. There's none other like it. This message, Brother Mark, will be directed to those of us who are getting up in years. starting tomorrow. Some of you folks have been a Christian, seems like all of your life, doesn't it? Many years. I look at myself, I can hardly believe that I have been a Christian for 74 years already. And that's more than some of you have lived. 74 years since I've been saved. That seems like a lifetime, you know? I want to be a saint by now, Lord. Something must have happened along the way. Someone has said that life is not a destination, It's a journey. It's a journey. Now, some of us probably feel like we have arrived. Amen. When you get our age, you feel that what has been done is finished. It's all over. No more children to raise. Time to retire. There's nothing more that we can do. The challenge of life is gone. We have arrived. Let the next generation do it. They can handle it. If we haven't done it by now, we never will. We're at the place where, except maybe physically, the path is fairly easy. It's no longer that rough, rocky, dangerous, challenging trail that it used to be. That's behind us. We fought our way through the battle. Our enemies have been conquered. We've worked our way up the mountain to victory. We've arrived. Now there's no more challenge to our courage or to our muscles or to our faith. We can settle down, relax, rest, and begin to live on our old age pension, on our retirement, on our Social Security. Now we can afford to sit back and get comfortable. And from the comfort of our lounge chair, we can easily slip into complacency. Once we're complacent, once we're satisfied and content, we stop growing. I've already stopped. I'm going the wrong way. I've lost 10 pounds. I weighed this morning. I've lost 10 pounds this month. How many of you have done that? Of course, I've been on a grief diet. That's one of the worst ones in the book. Don't try it. But anyway, once we become complacent, we stop growing. It's kind of like the transmission of your car. You drive up here and you throw your car into neutral. And did you know that when it's in neutral, it has a tendency to roll? And when it rolls, it never rolls uphill. It always rolls downhill, doesn't it? Now that's the way we are. You throw your life out of gear into neutral, and you're going to begin to roll, and watch what direction you're going to take. If we aren't careful, we're going to begin a downhill slide. We lose spiritual power. Often when one stops growing, he stops living and starts just merely existing from day to day. What are you doing? I'm waiting for the trumpet or the grim reaper, whichever comes first. Have you ever met a person that was kind of fits that category? Once we think that our journey is over and our final destination is in sight, the reason and purpose for climbing becomes non-existent. It ends. We lose our enthusiasm. We lose our challenge, and life begins to get boring. We stop short of the finish line if we're not careful. I believe it's dangerous to have an attitude, I have arrived. I've made it. When we begin to think that, it becomes harder for us to finish the journey and easier for us to stray from the original calling of God for our lives. We may become proud of ourselves, proud of our accomplishments, resting on our laurels, so to speak, reliving our achievements. And we may even become critical and judgmental of others. Then there's the peril of false security. We may think that we're safer, but actually we're not. We're never safer than when we are going and growing. We need intellectual challenges to keep us thinking, to keep our thought processes working. We need physical challenges to keep us moving, to keep the old heart pumping and the blood circulating and the muscles exercised. And we need spiritual challenges to keep us praying, to keep us in the Word, to keep us digging deeper into the truths of God and trusting God more. Let's go back here and look at Moses as an example. These things were written for our learning and for our admonition. And they're recorded for us. Moses began his life down in Egypt. He was born under the sentence of death. Oh, Pharaoh had decreed that all of the Hebrew male children should be killed as soon as they were born. He'd issued that decree back in 1967 BC. And he told the midwives of Egypt to drown in the river all of the male children that were born to the Hebrew women. And that's when Moses was born. He was one of those infants. But miraculously, you know the story of it, he was saved and he was brought up in Pharaoh's palace as the son of Pharaoh's daughter for the first 40 years of his life. Then he got into trouble when he attempted to identify himself with his Hebrew brethren out here. He chose rather to suffer affliction with his own people than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He slew an Egyptian, had to flee Egypt for his life, went into the land of Midian. There he got married and settled down. And for the next 40 years, he herded sheep in the wilderness for his father-in-law. One day God appeared to him in a bush that burned but was not consumed. Moses is now 80 years old. 80. God commissioned him to return to Egypt and lead his people out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt. He wanted him to take them to the land that he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which he did. You know the story. They crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground and spent the next 40 years in the wilderness of Sinai. God gave them commandments from the top of Mount Sinai. He gave them manna from heaven. He gave them water from a rock, and he took care of them. Moses was responsible for seeing that they had food and water and protection during those years. And he made God a pretty good servant. Only in his last days, he's getting a little dementia, you would think, because he's 120 years old. 120. It caught up with him. He became disobedient to God. God said to him one day, he said, when they ran out of water, God said, go over there and speak to that rock and it'll give forth its water. Moses went over to that rock, but he didn't speak to it. He spoke to the people. But here's what he said. In Numbers chapter 20, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take thy rod and assemble thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said, not to the rock, but to the people, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock? Does that sound like a old man?
Yeah.
Disgusted with the people. And he took his rod and he smote the rock and he smote it again. Water came out of the rock. But he's in trouble. Congregation drank and the beast also, but the Lord spake unto Moses and said, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I've given them. Pure and simple. Now Aaron, who's there with him, Moses' brother, he died right away. And then their sister Miriam died. She lasted a little bit longer than that. And then Moses died. The whole family is gone, wiped out. So the Lord said to Moses, get thee up into the Mount Abram and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou shalt be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered, for you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. I mean, he's got 120 years service with the Lord. And he gets off down here and does one foolish act, and it knocked him out of going into the promised land. Took him out of the game. The year was 1423 BC. He was 120 years old. Keep that in mind. He is old enough, and he was experienced enough to know better. The Bible says his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Let's take just a minute and do a what if on Moses. I like to do that when I study the Bible. What if? What if Moses, in obedience to God's command, had walked over to that rock and spoke to it and says, "Rock, give us some water." And water would have gushed out of that rock. And Moses would have been on safe ground, wouldn't he? He would have been obeying God. And once again, he would have become a hero in the eyes of the people, because they needed a human being to devote their attention to. And he would have gotten it. But that one little fit of temper led to his disobedience, his downfall, and his death in disgrace. And Moses missed the last act of the play. Moses missed crossing over the flooded Jordan River that God parted like he had the Dead Sea, and the children of Israel went across on dry ground. Moses missed that battle of Jericho when Joshua led the troops of Israel around the city once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day they went around it seven times, and they shouted and blew their trumpets, and the walls of Jericho fell down flat. They're still flat. I've been there and I've seen them. My. He missed all of the victories of the Israelites as they went forth claiming the promised land, as God gave them victory over their enemies. And probably, when Moses finally died, they would have buried him in some prominent place. They might have even put him down in Hebron, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were buried. But I'll tell you one thing. If he had died in favor of God and all the people, there would be a shrine over there today that people from all over the world would visit if they had the opportunity to do so. It would be a glorious place to go, because he was a great man of God. Let's go back to the perils of retirement. Water, when it ceases to flow, becomes stagnant. My brother Bill, I talked to him 2 days ago, and he was telling me about Patton's Creek down there in Wood County. Patton's Creek ran right down through the center of the county, and that's the place where we would go swimming. We had a wide place in the creek there where all the guys would go swimming, and about a half a mile upstream or something up there is where the gals would go swimming up there. And down here where the men were where their swimming hole, the church at Hainesville used it as a baptistry. That's where I was baptized back in 1940. That's where we lived on top of a hill, and down that hill was the creek ran through pasture. And I went down there with a shovel and I dug out my own swimming pool there and fixed the banks of it real nice and deepened the swimming hole, and I would go down there and swim. It was underneath a big old mulberry tree. I'll never forget it. And I would go down there. That's where I would take my bath. We laughed about every Saturday night, you know. Well, Saturday night's when we got the number three wash tub out here in front of the fireplace and put some hot water in there and then some cold water, and then we would take a bath in it on Saturday nights. But during the week, we worked out on the farm. We were dirty during the day. We'd come in, go down the creek, Patton's Creek, always water in it, except sometimes if we had a dry summer, it would dry up into holes. But Bill told me a couple of days ago, he says, R.C. said, did you know that Patton's Creek dried up? Dried up. Looks like a California river. Well, that's one of the interesting things about California. I came out here, river, river, river. I'd look and see it. It was a river, all right, but no water in it. But when water ceases to flow, it becomes stagnant. And stagnant water breeds mosquito larvae. Or it did in Texas, that's for sure. We got our water from a cistern at the edge of the house. We had a water trough all around the roof of the house, and when it would rain, the water would run in that trough and fill up our cistern. And we always drank fresh rainwater, good for you, because the water out of the well was alkali, and boy, even sometimes the stock wouldn't even drink that. It was terrible water. But we had that. But sometimes when it didn't rain for a long time, there was just not much water. Sometimes you let your bucket to the bottom and turn it over and pull it up, and there just wasn't much water in it. But we always had a lot of wiggle tails. That's what we call that mosquito larvae. And the bucket would be half full of wiggle tails. We'd have to strain it out. We'd pour it from that bucket into another one, strain the wiggle tails out of it through a piece of cloth. And that's what happens when water becomes stagnant. And when you get a whole lot of stagnant water gathered together in one place, guess what you've got? You've got a swamp. You've got a swamp. And that's where the alligators hang out. You don't want to go down there. Nobody wants their life to end up in a swamp. And because of that, we must stay alive for God and keep on keeping on. Oh, listen, there's going to be Sundays come that you will not feel like coming to church. You've experienced this. You know what I'm talking about. There are days when you just feel like you want to lay in bed and just soak up some more rest. You just don't want to stir. But I can guarantee you that you try to talk yourself into feeling bad. But actually, come on to church. You won't feel any worse at church than you will if you stay at home. I've learned that. I've learned that. You keep on coming. Just as long as what you've got isn't catching. Now, if you've got a bad cold or measles or mumps or something like that, just go ahead and stay at home, okay? I think about Rita's last day. Now, if there's ever a girl that needed to stay at home, she needed to stay at home that Sunday. She was sick. Can I come back down here and pick you up and bring you to church? No, I can make it. I can drive. Don't we all say that? Do you ever get too old to want to drive? I was talking to Georgia here a couple of days ago, and she was talking about she went through her house looking for her car keys, and she couldn't find them anywhere. She didn't want to go anywhere. She just wanted to know where her car keys were. And she couldn't find them. So she called her son and said, I can't find my car keys. Mom, I took them. That's a bad thing to say to your mother, because that's taking away her independence. And she knew that she couldn't drive, and she really didn't want to drive. But it's the idea of somebody else making your decisions for you. You want to keep in control of your own life as long as you can. And that's the way Rita was. She came to church anyway that last Sunday before she went to the doctor the next day and didn't come home. But listen, the perils of retirement. Somebody's always asking me, preacher, are you going to retire? When I signed up in God's service, I didn't sign a retirement contract. And whenever I go, if I had my preferences, I would go from right here. That would be my number one choice, would be going while I'm telling people about God and about Jesus Christ, my Savior. Because when I signed on, it was an open-end contract. I'm not one of these guys that wants to retire on a goodly pension at age 50. I passed that a long time ago. Let's keep busy for God. Let's stay busy in His service. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Remember, the services tonight, we're going to be talking about some things God wants us to know. Okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service today. Thank you for the privilege to talk about Jesus and what He's done for our lives. Thank you for the privilege you've given us of serving you. How wonderful it is to be able to share Christ with others. Make each one of us a witness and a soul winner for you. If there's one here today that needs to come, maybe just to the altar to pray a prayer of dedication, whatever it is, Lord, speak to hearts, and we'll give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
What's the number? 497.
Number 497. Couple here this morning that took me out to breakfast yesterday morning and asked me about joining the church. And since Nancy is sitting over here playing the piano for the invitation, she didn't have much of an opportunity to come today. But we want her and Brother Romel to come at this time as they present themselves as candidates for membership in the Bible Baptist Church. And all of you that are glad that they came and welcome them into the fellowship of our assembly, do it by saying amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Any opposed? Oh, me. All right. We've got a couple of new members this morning, and we're so happy to have them worshiping with us. And we are already enjoying the talents that God has given to Nancy. She comes at the right time, God's time. So as we're dismissed this morning, they're going to stand here in front of the pulpit, and you come by and give them the right hand of Christian fellowship. Will you do that? All right. Brother Lancaster, will you lead us, please, in our prayer this morning? Amen.